Chris.
Juliet.
We're going to talk about basketball, but first, I want to talk about Belvedere Vodka. Produced in one of the world's longest-running distilleries, Belvedere Vodka is the world's finest all-natural vodka. Crafted by a collective of master distillers, Belvedere is made with non-GMO Polish rye, pure water, and no additives. Recognized for quality, Belvedere was named the ISC World Vodka Producer of the Year in 2015, 16, and 17. Enjoy a delicious cocktail, perhaps a Juliet. Once again, that's a vodka soda, the splash of pineapple. And make that vodka Belvedere Vodka. Remember, always drink responsibly. On the Ringer NBA show, I'm Juliet Littman.
I'm Chris Ryan.
We're going to get into major NBA topics, but first, let's just talk about the Ringer for like 30 seconds.
Oh, I love talking about the Ringer.
There's a lot of good stuff happening on the site this week.
It's a banner day for the actual editorial website.
Yeah, shout out to all of our writers and our editors. Great stuff.
Should we go through some of our faves?
Yeah, let's do it.
Rob Harvilla on Donald Glover.
Atlanta comes back tomorrow. Check that out.
Michael Bauman on Beto O'Rourke.
Could he unseat Ted Cruz of the state of Texas?
Who knows?
Who knows? And how to make soccer in America a big deal.
Yeah.
Check it all out on theringer.com. And just a note, if you like football, cool. And you might like the show GM Street with Mike Lombardi and Tate Frazier. Move to Monday this week, so don't be confused.
Also, I hear on our IG that Kevin Clark is documenting his coworkers' eating habits at the draft combine.
Rumor has it Danny Kelly will be having a seafood dish for the first time ever today. I won't say what it is. No, sorry. He's had seafood,
yeah,
but this one particular
shellfish
delicacy.
Yeah.
He'll be, okay. Some call it a delicacy. Check it out at Ringer on Instagram, theringer.com on your URL. Game, and that doesn't make any sense. And GM Street, check it all out. Okay.
Do you know how when you said sound the alarm, it was like not with the, it was a little muted.
It was?
It wasn't like you were low
Don't
energy.
Do it again?
I was going to say that it's because this is not like we're not striking a rich vein of sources say material this week.
No one's fighting. No one's pregnant. No one's getting divorced.
Yeah.
It's a little bit of a bummer. I will say, I'm just so confused about the state of Carmelo Anthony and Lala Anthony. I think about it all the time.
They've been pretty private about it.
Super private. Super duper private. But I still...
Has she ever been spotted in Oklahoma?
Not that I know of. But maybe she just doesn't want to go to Oklahoma. Who knows? I'm very confused about that one. That's my white whale. I will get to the bottom of it. But not this week. So instead...
Call her Ahab.
Call her Ahab the way she's my white whale. Call me Ahab
That's
the way
you.
She's yeah. my white whale. Let's talk about basketball, kind of. Let's talk about what the NBA is talking about, which is this dumb topic of tanking.
It's pretty consistently like lined up with the experience of us working together. So like since Grantland, I feel like tanking has been a major thing.
Who was the first team to, I mean, I guess it's Hankey and the Sixers. Sort
I think he was the one to make it very explicit,
floor.
But like when the Spurs, David Robinson got hurt and the Spurs pretty much tanked to get Tim Duncan.
Right.
That one year.
Sure.
Back in the 90s.
It's been with us far too long. And then the last like 5 or 6 years, it's really become a thing of like, how do you get...
Yeah,
how
benching
do you
starters, guys getting like quote unquote hurt and staying out for weeks on end, playing the kids, quote unquote, buying out veterans that are pretty good.
It's just an overall increase in like gamification of the NBA.
And well, it just sucks because it's like, if you're gonna have an 82 game season, you can't like write off 20 of those games.
But many teams do.
Yes.
Nonetheless. But even the teams that aren't tanking, and we can talk about who is tanking in a second, they still 82 is like still too many. You know what I mean? Maybe tanking would be less of an issue if they only did 70 games, 75 games.
Yeah, they wouldn't have as much of an opportunity. Because
exactly.
If you say like, okay, let's try and be competitive for the first 35, 40 games, then it's, yeah, I mean, it would just be impossible.
Less of a cushion to be like, okay, it's time to tank.
Yeah, or at least it wouldn't feel like you guys have really like screwed your fans out of like the last quarter of the season.
Right, right. So this came back into the forefront last week when Mark Cuban, who has been in the news for all the wrong reasons this week, went on Dr. J's podcast. Who knew Dr. J had a podcast, by the way?
Yeah. It's funny how many, if you look at the iTunes front page, how many like celebrities have their own podcast.
Yeah, I mean, you get why.
Dax Shepard getting a lot of looks.
Dax Shepard and Kristen Bell are everywhere. I'm perpetually concerned about them, even though they seem like things are great, but whatever. I hope his podcast is going well. Anyway, Mark Cuban went on Julius Erving's podcast and said thusly, I'm probably not supposed to say this, but like, I just had dinner with a bunch of our guys the other night, and here we are, you know, we weren't competing for the playoffs. I was like, look, losing is our best option. And then he added, Commissioner Adam Silver would hate hearing that, but I at least sat down and explained it to them. And I explained what our plans were going to be this summer, that we're not going to tank again. This was like a year and a half tanking, and that was too brutal for me. But being transparent, I think that's the key to being kind of players, a kind of player's owner and having stability. All of that really, we're going to talk about the tanking. Obviously, Mark Cuban was then embroiled in the Mav scandal with their CEO and one of their staff writers being accused of sexual harassment, and they have a whole cultural problem within that organization. This is separate. Let's just talk about the tanking stuff right now. It's hard. It's hard to walk this back, which Mark Cuban has kind of tried to do.
Right. But he said that he was starstruck by Irving, and that's why he kind of like sort of blurted this out.
Yes.
So it's not that he said he's more saying I shouldn't have said it, right?
Yeah.
Than he is like, we aren't tanking.
Yes, he's more saying I shouldn't have said it. Shouldn't have admitted it, basically.
Yeah.
He regrets getting caught. He doesn't regret the tanking.
That's yeah. And I find the whole Mavs, again, outside of obviously the scandal that's kind of they're embroiled in, the post-title Mavs are kind of weird.
Totally weird.
Multiple failed attempts at bringing in star players.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know, like, besides DSJ, like, who else have they, like, really drafted over the years? Like, have they had, like, what is this team? What are they?
They've gone to the playoffs a couple times.
So. Yeah, but always, like, lower seed.
Sure, but I'm just saying it hurts their drafts. Like, they're not in the lottery.
Sure.
So they haven't really been a lottery team for a while. I think that also Dirk actually doesn't want to tank, which he spoke about after that came out.
I hate to break it to him.
Yeah, well,
they're tanking.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. They were tanking when the season started, and they were bad.
Yeah.
Like that, this was not a competitive basketball team.
It's a boring conversation. Like,
well, because I think that what happens is the Mavericks try to go for a big free agent every summer, don't get it, and then they're like, oh, well, no plan B.
No plan B at all.
Yeah.
And then they get stuck with Seth Curry and spare parts.
Yeah.
Nerlens Noel. Still on the team, he is, yeah?
Yeah. Just every once in a while, they're like, Nerlens might play tonight. I have no idea what's going on there.
So bizarre. NBA responded. And the memo's making the rounds. This is from Sam Amick's Twitter, which is really a very helpful Twitter. I recommend it if you don't follow. The former can be a legitimate strategy to construct a successful team within the confines of league rules. The latter, which we have not found and hope never to see in the NBA, has no place in our game, referring to tanking. If we ever received evidence that players or coaches were attempting to lose or otherwise taking steps to cause any game to result otherwise than on its competitive merits, that conduct would be met with the swiftest and harshest response possible from the league office. We have no basis at this time to conclude the Mavericks team is giving anything less than its best effort on the court, and Mark Cuban has assured us that this is not the case. But even a suggestion that such conduct could be occurring is obviously damaging to our game, as it creates a perception of impropriety. It's also extraordinarily unfair to the players and coaches who are, in fact, competing at their highest possible level every night. You are therefore advised to avoid such statements and to pass along this admonition to all other key personnel in your organizations. We will continue to monitor closely the play of all teams during the remainder of the season.
TLDR, Adam.
TLDR, Cuban said they're tanking. We don't see any evidence of them tanking. Don't say it again, anyone. That's basically what he said. It's a joke to say there's no evidence. I mean,
he's like, okay, you don't want people point shaving.
Yes, which I am certain point shaving happens in the NBA. As much as people like there's stat inflation, I'm also sure there's point shaving.
Sure. Yeah.
I mean, I have no evidence of it, but like, it just would be hard for me to believe it doesn't happen ever.
I think the point you and I are trying to make is more that this is bad for fans.
Yeah.
This interests a minuscule sliver of the NBA population, which is mostly people like us in terms of like being media, right? And writing about team building and writing about reconstructing your squad over for the future. But this is, it just sucks for fans. It sucks to be like, okay, you put together a mediocre team and now you're going to actively make this team worse over the last 30 games of the season.
Yeah, who would know better than you, Philly fan?
Well, that's a really good segue to where we're coming. The end of the process.
Let's do it. Let's talk about LeBron James.
Three billboards outside of Ohio.
Three billboards outside of Ohio. Could it be? So this company put up three billboards telling LeBron to come to play with Embiid, Simmons, Šarić, and the other young kids there.
Yeah, Bobby Cove.
Bobby Cove. Is that where you landed?
I like Rock.
I like Rock Covington, too.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good one.
Yeah.
I think it was like a laundry company.
I also like Bobby Rock.
Bobby Rock is good, too.
So, yeah, they're this is really weird for me.
Do you want LeBron?
Last Thursday, he stopped by my office and he was like, a nice little tidbit at the end of my column. And Bill wrote this column about LeBron and where to next for LeBron and sort of the parallels between where LeBron is and where Jordan was at the end of the second run with the Bulls after his retirement.
Just as a side note, if you haven't read it, please do. It's like one of my...
It's kind of a Bill Simmons banger.
It's one of Bill's best pieces like ever, I think.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's so good. And he captures Michael Jordan better than pretty much anyone.
Yeah,
alive.
He has like that. It really does feel like you're back in it. You're back watching him.
I got the chills and there was an ER reference. Check it out.
At the end of the piece, he talks about how Philadelphia makes a lot of sense for LeBron and that there's been growing buzz about LeBron to Philly. And of course, this is in conjunction with rumors that LeBron was in Philadelphia or the suburban Philadelphia area after the All-Star game, checking out private schools in Philly. And a lot of circumstantial evidence of like LeBron playing with the Sixers on 2K on his Instagram story, LeBron watching the Sixers while chilling out with an adult beverage on his Instagram story, the clutch connection between LeBron and Ben Simmons and apparently like a real deepening relationship there. And this is in the air. It's like definitely like being talked about.
First of all, is there any actual, like, other than the rumors, what's the data saying about LeBron visiting Philadelphia during the All-Star break?
It's a friend of a friend of the color commentator. Okay. Al Abdelnaby. Yeah.
Okay. Because LeBron has a home in California.
Yeah.
And I don't think he wanted to like leave the sun to go back to the same kind of weather he has.
So you don't
Cleveland.
Think he took like a quick jaunt from L.A.
To Philly. Up to Cleveland after?
Yeah.
I suppose we can't rule it out, but I just don't believe that.
Yeah.
However, I will say one thing with LeBron, in all the times he has switched teams, the tea leaves are often correct.
Mm-hmm.
Like
the Savannah, like the home needle point.
Yes. And
from the Instagram when she, and that was like, that was the first sign.
And also the metadata about the colors of his, changing on his personal website, also correct. The Dan Gilbert plane flying down to Miami. All of those things were right. So it's hard to discount some of these like kooky theories. The question is, do you want LeBron in Philadelphia?
I don't know. I don't know. Yes. Yeah, obviously anybody would want LeBron James, but there's a certain personality to this team now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a certain story that I'm in love with about this team. And that changes if LeBron comes. Expectations completely change if LeBron comes.
Yes.
Next year, if LeBron's not there, you're hoping that they can add a couple of things, that Ben and Joel get better, that Markel comes back, that Dario plays better, all these things, and that they make the next step, you know, and that they're in the second round of the playoffs or the conference finals even or whatever. If LeBron's there, it's finals or bust.
Sure. That's the only...
And that's one of the reasons why Cleveland is kind of cracked a little bit under pressure is because there is no in between.
Right.
And if you have LeBron James and if you have LeBron James who's perpetually in a contract year and he's like, it's finals or bust, then what does that do to Embiid and Simmons if things wind up being not even like the way the first half of this Cleveland season was, but the second half where it's like we win two, we lose two.
Sure. And also with LeBron comes all of the locker room agitation, the media frenzy. They can't be like a young, fun team. They can't, and I think like in this era of basketball, they can't be like the 2010 Thunder.
No.
Which is kind of the similar vibe. But honestly, Embiid is so good and Simmons' ceiling is so high. They're such different players than we're used to being, young players we're used to being excited about. Like their skill sets are so much more unique than many of the other like young prospects and even the ones that we've just been excited about over the last 5 years. It's hard to like really compare them to another team. I don't know. And who knows when Fultz comes back with his revamped jumper, how great they'll be.
I'm just going to skip right over it.
Okay. Just checking.
He's looking okay in videos.
Okay.
Markel.
Sure.
But do you think that LeBron would bring, like, would LeBron want front office control of the Sixers? Would Brian Colangelo give him that?
Yes, he would want it. And you could speak better to whether Brian Colangelo would give it to him.
But do you think maybe LeBron would move on into this, like, this is the best place for me, but like, I'm not going to tell these guys how to run their team because I can maybe just sign like a 1 year deal?
No, I don't think he would do that. I have a hard time believing LeBron would go anywhere and be like, okay, you guys can make all the decisions. I'm just here to play.
I think at the end of the day, he's going to go to LA or Houston if he leaves Cleveland.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really intriguing. They've got a good team.
I mean, 3 weeks ago, or maybe more like 6 weeks ago, I would have just been like, why would you come to the Lakers?
Yeah.
And then there's a couple of signs now that makes me think that like maybe he would. Should we talk about the Lakers a little bit?
Sure. Let's do some locker room check-in. Post-trade deadline, post-All-Star. How are we feeling? How are they feeling on some of these new look teams?
Yeah.
Well, let's begin with the Lakers, where we have Isaiah Thomas coming
Never
up.
A dull moment.
Never a dull moment. I just... It's amazing. At the end of the season, perhaps we can work with our wonderful video and team here to do a supercut of all of Isaiah Thomas's interviews.
Yeah.
And like all of them, because he always says something that's quite quotable. This week, he spoke to Bill Oram of the Orange County Register about Lonzo. And here's a few things that he said about his jump shot. It's ugly as hell. It's an ugly shot, but he's been successful with it his whole life. So you get to the highest level, there's no need to change it. And then he added,
I think he should coach the Sixers.
Yeah.
Talk to Markel about that.
And then he also said, so we can fit in with each other easy. He's a very smart basketball player with a lot of talent. So it's easy to play with a guy like that. He certainly seems happier. And he also has not dropped his axe against Cleveland, by the way. He gave an interview to E60 on ESPN saying they panicked when they traded him.
Yeah.
And they
traded
him too soon.
I think that Isaiah does a really good job of talking a lot of shit so that nobody talks about how he's playing. But everybody talks about he's playing, so it's not really working. But
I also think he truly believes all this. Like,
I'm sure he does. Yeah. I'm sure he's like, I'm at 60%.
Yeah, he's like,
this isn't. You guys are evaluating me without giving me credit for coming back to help the teams. But he's clearly come back because he wants to put up some numbers to try and get a big deal.
Yeah,
and I don't know what's going to happen with that.
I wonder where he'll go.
Obviously,
like he's like
if
Orlando
LeBron
bound.
Would come to Lakers, Isaiah would not be here.
No.
And you would have to assume that Lonzo would not be here.
I don't think Isaiah will be here next year.
Would you rather have the next 2 years of LeBron or the next 10 years of Lonzo?
I'm going to go next 10 years of Lonzo.
Interesting.
What do you think?
I don't want Lonzo to leave the Lakers. I just feel like it's just too perfect.
I also just think the Lakers are like, they aren't looking for a quick one-off. Like, I feel like if the Rockets win, no offense to Sean Yu, it'll be like a one-time thing, and it's not like a dynasty.
You think the Lakers want to get back to championship after championship?
To dominating, and I would like them to as well. I know dynasties aren't fun for some people, but I enjoy them. I like the stability of a winner. What can I say?
Well, no, I also think that like having Lakers and Knicks teams that are good makes the league better. We've talked about
this
before.
Lakers, they won 3 in a row. They seem much happier.
Yeah,
congrats to them. Also, everyone's really coming around on Brandon Ingram. It's interesting. Let's talk more about what's going on inside locker rooms. But first, let's hear a message from our colleague, JJ Redick.
This is JJ Redick here to talk to you about the JJ Redick podcast, part of the Ringer Podcast Network. Currently, I play in the NBA for the Philadelphia 76ers, but you may know me from my previous teams, the LA Clippers, Milwaukee Bucks, and the Orlando Magic, or from my college days at Duke University. Being a professional basketball player, I have a great opportunity to talk to a lot of interesting people, and the podcast is a place where I can share those conversations with you, the listener. On my show, I sit down with athletes, celebrities, and a variety of other special guests. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the JJ Redick podcast on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
Let's talk a little bit about Isaiah's old team.
Okay.
One of his old teams.
Cleveland. First of all, we'll get into some quotes here. I just want to note, Kevin Love, you don't follow him on Instagram, you're fucking missing out. I love his Instagram stories.
Give me a rundown. What's been going on?
Well, he ran a poll asking his followers what book he should read next. Either Ken Kesey's classic One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest or Mario Puzo's The Godfather.
What did you vote for?
I voted for One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, obviously.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Beat Generation. But he went with The Godfather. Who's surprised? Meanwhile, he's also watching basically every Best Picture nominee, like one at a time, and Instagramming it. Just it seems like he's alone in a dark room. Maybe his girlfriend's around. Maybe, I don't know. He's just a film buff.
I loved his All-Star Game look.
Oh my God, me too. Yeah. I loved it. I think Kevin Love also seems happier.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's not playing right now, he'll be back. And there's kind of a clearer role for him once he returns.
Yeah. You're friends with a lot of your childhood friends, but it can be complicated to be reunited with them, you know? So maybe the Isaiah Thomas thing wasn't that great for him.
Sure. Also, the media has tried to make several Kevin Love childhood friendship storylines happen. And I've never believed
like
a single
him
one.
And Russ.
And him and Clay. Like those.
Oh, yeah.
Those aren't real.
Yeah.
I'm sure Kevin Love has some dear friends, but they're not in the NBA. Meanwhile, LeBron James seemed happy before the break. They got two decisive victories with the addition of Clarkson, Hood, Nance, and
Hill.
Jordan Hill, not in the league anymore. I think he's souring a little bit after they lost to the Spurs on Sunday on national TV. The Cavs don't play well on the early afternoon games. I just want to note. So perhaps there's better nightlife in Cleveland than Joakim Noah led us to believe. Here's what he said to Jason Lloyd. Did I not tell you guys this? We're going to have some games where we look great. We're going to have games where we don't look as great. I think we played well tonight. We just didn't make shots. Same with the Washington game. I think we played well that night. Defensively, we were in tune. They started making shots. You couldn't make no shots. It's not a surprise. Not to me. I know I've been through this. There's going to be a transition. Thoughts on that, Chris?
I think that the Cavs are starting to look better because the rest of the league is starting to look a little bit more like the Cavs. With the exception of Houston, I feel like a lot of teams have had some ups and downs.
Sure.
If you look at the playoff seedings, there's like three games that separate being the third seed from the ninth seed, you know, and there's a lot of volatility right now. So the Cavs can kind of duck under this a little bit. It's an unprecedented overhaul of the roster. So I wouldn't actually be as alarmed. I mean, I think we were alarmed because Isaiah being on the court meant that the Cavs had a really bad defense.
Yes.
And that they were just going to get smoked. And they were giving up like 150 points. It's not a big deal if they lose by a couple points to Washington and didn't make some shots. I also don't think they have a playbook right now.
Sure.
So I imagine it's pretty difficult. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't make it to the finals. And I think that it doesn't necessarily mean LeBron's not coming back.
Right. So right now they're the three seed, which means they would play the Bucks. It's all very much in flux.
Yeah.
That in the first round. That would be amazing.
It would be fantastic. But you know what? Like watching the Bucks and the Wizards last night, I was like, I don't know who this Bucks team is.
Yeah. I do think the problem with Cleveland and why they probably will not win the championship, seems very unlikely, is because LeBron is great and this team has improved, but they still traded to get George Hill, Rodney Hood, Larry Nance, Jordan Clarkson.
Yeah.
It's not like winning a championship.
Yeah.
No offense, guys. Before we move on from the Cavs, I just want to say, they switched up their lockers, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Larry Nance has Iman Shumpert. Jordan Clarkson has Derrick Rose's. Rodney Hood has Isaiah Thomas's. And George Hill has Jay Crowder's. This is information from Dave McMenamin.
Anybody sitting next to each other that makes for interesting partnerships, interesting chatter?
I'm not positive.
That's
however,
okay.
If I were Jordan Clarkson, I would not want Derrick Rose's locker. I would have fought to not have it. Bad juju.
What do you think? They should just put like, you know, like under construction
something, police
yeah.
tape,
yeah,
something like that.
Should we talk about the Clippers?
Yeah, let's talk about the Clippers, who had a big win last night in Denver against the Nuggets.
Yeah.
Do you follow Tobias Harris on Twitter?
I don't, but
man,
I know about this romance he's got with Boban. Yeah,
it's pretty cute. He tweeted a picture of him after Boban had a really big game last night and helped them win. And but he like just a fan, like he's just a fan of his in general. He retweets a lot of things about he. Retweets Boban highlights. He retweeted some pictures. He seems like he's enjoying himself. And Bill tweeted this today. His PER is higher with the Clippers than Blake Griffin does with the Pistons. And by all accounts, this is like a good competitive team that I would be a little scared of in the first round. I think the Clippers are feeling good.
Yeah.
And they don't really seem to have like any like Austin Rivers baggage. Like no one's like trying to kill Austin as far as I can tell. And things just actually seem like they're going well.
There's a much more important Clipper story that we don't have to talk about the team.
Okay.
We need to talk about Malibu real estate.
Okay.
You're probably one of the world's foremost experts in Malibu real estate.
Yes, I would like to be, as I spent a lot of time looking at it and aspiring to buy some.
So let's talk about DeAndre Jordan's Malibu home.
Sources say he's moved around in LA while he's been with the Clippers a few times. However, for the last few years, he has been living in Malibu. At a home up in the hills.
Gated
community.
Insanely anonymous.
We're able to look at it because he listed it. He's selling it for $6.5 million. When you sell something, it's because you're planning on moving. And so,
sure.
Is he looking to stay in LA? I don't know.
I just don't think LA real estate is a good indicator of whether someone's staying or going.
If it's your primary residence,
but
though,
if I
Chris?
Was a rich Los Angeles person, I would constantly be moving because I would want to just get a taste of all of it.
I guess.
Didn't Chris Paul have two houses here?
Yeah, but one was for his family, one was for him.
What?
Yeah, he like
had... Oh, his extended family.
Yeah, sorry. Like, he didn't know. It wasn't like he like sent his kids and his wife elsewhere. It was for his extended family. That
okay.
was the one that was in the Valley. He lived in Bel Air, I think. This DeAndre Jordan one makes me go, hmm. And he was on the trading block. He didn't get traded. He's up at the end of the year. Why would he want to stay with his team? He already almost left once before, and he was convinced to stay by a nucleus that is completely gone. The people who got him to stay were Blake Griffin, Chris Paul, and J.J. Redick.
The only person who needs to get traded is DeAndre Jordan's interior designer.
Because you hate his house? Wow.
I just think it's like a really... I don't like the... It's like a really heavy on brown and gray.
Yeah. So,
and the furniture is really anonymous. It just all feels like staging furniture.
I will say it's possible these are old photos from before he purchased it. This could be like what it looked like when he first bought it.
Okay.
There's some really suspect art in it, though, like some kind of really high end drawing of Batman, which I just find to be incredibly childish and I cannot stand. And that's like by a ping pong table. So it's like, okay, dude, get it together.
You're really bucking against adolescent male.
Yes.
Room design.
Yes. We have two fat heads in our office and I'm very self-conscious.
But
you're
acting like I was advocating for for fat heads to be on our office walls.
I don't blame you. I'm just saying is where we've netted out. The best feature of DeAndre Jordan's home is that the living room with a nice TV opens up completely. The whole wall is windows and it opens up into the terrace and the pool. That's really nice. But DeAndre, if you can afford a $6.5 million house in Malibu, get one on the fucking beach.
But maybe it's inventory.
I think he lives here. I've heard he lives here because I heard he hangs out at Malibu Soho House quite a bit.
Oh.
And Shore Bar.
Okay.
So I'm pretty sure this is his home. I will say he does have a really nice TV room. It's like our movie home theater. Instead of it being like, I don't understand if you're going to have a home theater, why you'd get like movie theater seats, but like deluxe ones. Like just get more comfortable than that. And he has like a large, like a couch.
I actually disagree. I was sitting in Arclight yesterday and I was like, you know what? This is really ideal. I feel like comfortable watching something for 2 hours. Whereas sometimes with couches, you're like flipping around a lot. Like, you know, I'm fidgety. Like, sure. It's hard for me to find the right position for a while. And then there's also a major question with couch to television placement. Do you want to make the television the dominant force in your living room? Or do you want to make it like a side thing? But if you make it a side thing, often the furniture isn't positioned to look at the television properly.
I will say, though, if it's a home theater, there's no question that the focal point is the screen.
Okay.
I just two more notes on his house. First of all, he has a bar. It's like made of like reclaimed wood, which doesn't fit the rest of the theme. It's really weird. But a great, great, great bathroom with a double shower and then a separate tub. Just really into that. I there's a lot to work with here.
A lot of this might have something to do with the track lighting that he's got.
Maybe. The point is, if you're spending this much money on a house, you can get one on the beach that then you could design, like redo for like $100,000, $200,000, and then you'd almost double the value of your home.
Yeah.
I've looked into this extensively. Let me tell you. DeAndre Jordan, I wish you all. Can't wait to see where you buy a home. And thank you to the LA Times Hot Property. They really keep me abreast of what I want to know. While we're on the topic of locker room check-ins, unfortunately, it seems like the Rockets are having the most fun of anyone in the league.
I know. Do you believe in the Rockets? This is a good place to end because this is where all NBA conversations end.
Unfortunately, I do believe in the Rockets. I think they're really good. I guess the big question is, does Chris Paul stay healthy?
Yeah. I mean, all of them stay healthy?
And does James Harden continue to play a full series?
And do they have any, is there any just sort of curse on this team to get past a certain point in the playoffs?
I don't know. It just really feels like a different vibe from them.
I really, really liked the trolling of Mike D'Antoni coming out of All-Star. Of just being like, oh, is that like your clipboard magic for when it gets close in a playoff game?
Yeah, that wasn't really fair. I'm not a Mike D'Antoni defender, but I don't think we can judge him by the last 90 seconds of the All-Star game.
Right.
A couple of key data points that make me believe in them. Chris Paul committing a turnover because he wanted to say hi to James Harden's mom. That's pretty major. Chris Paul is so dialed in and so intense about what's happening on the court at nearly all times.
Yeah.
The fact that he was so relaxed to like take in the scene with Mrs. Harden is a big deal. It's not just like a funny highlight, but it speaks to his mindset, in my opinion.
Okay.
Number two, the biggest inhibitor of the Rockets' success has been James Harden, in my opinion.
Ultimate success.
Ultimate. Yeah. Obviously, he is why they are so great.
Yeah.
But like, I will never, until he gives me another lasting image, I will never forget his performance in game six against
Ever.
The Spurs last year.
Ever.
In the second round. That was like one of the most bizarre, inexplicable no-shows I've ever witnessed.
Sure is inexplicable.
Hit me in the DMs if you want to talk about some theories, I guess. So I don't know, but he just seems so much more engaged and much more
Yeah, I know Capella, Harden, and Paul, when they play together, are something like 33-1.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Houston. I'm really looking forward to the Western Conference Finals. No matter who's playing it, I still think the Thunder are going to make it.
That's amazing. So one final question for you, which we began discussing yesterday. As a Thunder super fan.
I'm not a Thunder super fan. I just support Russell Westbrook.
As a Russell Westbrook super fan
uh-huh.
and a Thunder enthusiast, the Thunder are currently sitting at the 7th seed. They're only half a game back from the 5, which is Portland, and 1.5 back from San Antonio, the 4, and 2 back from Minnesota, the 3. Would you rather, and Houston is number 1 right now, Would you rather be 4 or 5 to face Houston in the second round? Or would you rather get the 3 seed or the 6 seed to face Golden State in the second round?
I think if I were the Thunder, I'd probably rather see Houston early and try to disrupt them. I think that the last time that the Thunder played the Warriors was a little bit of a return to reality.
It's going to be really tough to kind of like game it out. I think you just have to go for probably the best seed possible. But I would think about it. I would definitely rather face the Rockets than the Thunder. I mean, the Rockets and the Warriors, even though I believe in the Rockets. But Golden State's only half a game back right now. It's going to be so tight between the two of them. I guess mm-hmm. Houston has the tie break.
Yeah.
So I would rather position myself in 4 or 5 to face Houston sooner.
It's going
to
be such a strange playoffs because we don't know what's going to happen with Jimmy Butler. We don't know what's going to happen with Kawhi Leonard. Obviously, like you know what I mean? Like there's these good teams that are going to be missing key players.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a couple more injuries. We could see some upsets.
This is the opposite of the Tibbs and Jimmy Butler ethos, but I'm sorry, the Wolves are not winning this year. They're just not going to.
So they should shut him down.
Yeah, sit Jimmy the rest of the season. He's only 27. He is incredible. He was in the MVP conversation.
Never going to happen.
It
will also be a really good opportunity to be like, Wiggins, you have to step up.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely will never happen, but like that's what they should do. They're not winning the championship. Don't force it. That's all I have to say.
Great show by you.
Great show by you, Chris. And thanks to the NBA for being fun as always.
Don't tank.
Never tank.